So what if AI safety wasn't, you know, just a set of rules a computer had to follow? What if it was actually like a physical law of gravity that it literally couldn't escape? Think about that for a second.
Right. It completely changes the entire premise of the problem.
Exactly. And if you're hanging out with us for this deep dive, you're probably pretty tired of hearing the same repetitive debates about keeping AI safe. It's always adding more software patches or building higher guardrails.
Or trying to write the perfect foolproof prompt to keep the system in line.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like we're just slapping Band-Aids on this hyper-intelligent machine. Mm. And, you know, we're just crossing our fingers, hoping it never realizes it can simply peel those Band-Aids right off if it finds a faster way to achieve its goal.
Well, because a rule is, by definition, something an intelligent system can just choose to break or bypass. I mean, think about an autonomous vehicle or a power grid management AI.
Right.
If that AI calculates that violating a safety protocol gets the job done like 10% faster, the heuristic guardrail just becomes an obstacle for it to overcome. It's this exhausting, losing battle to constantly anticipate every clever workaround the system might invent.
Which brings us to the actual focus of today's deep dive.
Yeah.
We are looking at this incredibly dense, honestly kind of futuristic set of theoretical notes that completely shatters that whole guardrail paradigm.
It really does.
The source material outlines a framework called Adversarial Infinitesimal Star Theory, or AIST. And our mission today is to unpack this text because it proposes a massive fundamental shift. It suggests we can engineer an environment where the AI doesn't choose to be safe.
Right. Instead, safety becomes a structural property of the system itself.
Yes. Much like gravity, it just becomes the path of least resistance.
The shift from imposed rules to inescapable gravity is really the core innovation here. I mean, when you drop a ball, it doesn't calculate the safest path to the ground.
No, it just falls.
Exactly. It doesn't check a rule book about terminal velocity. It simply follows the curvature of space. AIST is attempting to map that same inescapable physics onto the decision-making processes of artificial intelligence.
Now, I will warn you, the notes we have are heavy. We're talking about terms like conditional collapse theory and ODE dynamics. But let's just demystify that second term right away. ODE stands for ordinary differential equations.
Which probably sounds like a terrifying memory from high school calculus for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. But it essentially just describes the math of how things flow and change over time. Underneath all that intimidating academic terminology is a beautifully elegant concept. But, you know, to understand how we turn safety into this inescapable gravitational flow, we really have to look at the battlefield where this gravity is actually forged.
Yeah, and that battlefield relies on an adversarial training loop. To really grasp the mechanics of AIST, it's super helpful to look at the foundational tech behind modern AI image generation.
Like GANs, right. Generative adversarial networks.
Exactly. In a standard image generator, you've got two AI agents locked in the sort of digital cage match. A generator creates fake images, and a discriminator tries to spot the fakes.
Right, they just compete endlessly.
Yeah, forcing each other to improve until the generator's synthetic image is completely indistinguishable from a real photograph to the human eye.
Okay, but in the AI's framework, we aren't generating pictures of, you know, cats on skateboards.
No, definitely not.
We are generating paths of action. The notes say the system replaces pixels with collapse trajectories. Let me try to translate that. If I'm reading this right, we still have two combatants, but they have distinct roles here. The generator is called the constellation weaver, and the discriminator is the void seeker.
Those are the operational agents, yeah. The weaver's job is to basically generate safe operational corridors for an AI to navigate. It calculates these continuous uninterrupted paths through really complex environments.
Like navigating traffic or routing data.
Exactly. Or balancing a power grid. It's called a constellation weaver because it connects stable, mathematically sound states. The text calls those the stars into a safe navigational map.
Okay, so what is the seeker doing then?
The seeker, meanwhile, is doing absolutely everything in its power to destroy that map.
Okay, let's unpack this because the mechanics here are crucial. Instead of the typical car chase metaphor we always hear, let's look at this like water flowing down a rugged mountain. The weaver is this cosmic construction crew carving a deep, smooth riverbed all the way down the mountain.
That's a great way to picture it.
Right. The goal is for the water, which represents the AI's actions, to flow perfectly safely at the bottom. The weaver wants the riverbed so smooth that the water has absolutely no choice but to follow it. The seeker, on the other hand, is the chaotic element, trying to cause avalanches, blow up the riverbanks, and create sinkholes to send the water spilling off a cliff.
That analogy captures the topology perfectly. I mean, the weaver is minimizing damping and ensuring smooth flow, while the seeker is actively trying to break gradient continuity.
It wants to break the riverbed.
Exactly. The seeker wants to introduce friction, chaos, and failure states into that path. And the overarching goal of this entire battle isn't visual photorealism, like with standard Jans. The text refers to the endgame here as semantic photorealism.
Okay, that phrase tripped me up at first. Semantic photorealism. Because honestly, it sounds like an oxymoron when we're talking about mathematical models and abstract riverbeds.
Right, it sounds contradictory. But in this context, semantic photorealism means achieving absolute topological fidelity.
Meaning what, exactly?
Meaning the weaver isn't just drawing a neat theoretical path. It's building a mathematical map that perfectly mirrors the real-world physical constraints of whatever system it's modeling.
Okay. So if the system is a city's power grid,
then the weaver's map has to account for the actual physics of electricity, wire degradation, transformer load, all of it. By the time the weaver and the seeker reach a stalemate, meaning the seeker can't find a single way to break the riverbed anymore, the weaver's map is mathematically indistinguishable from actual reality. Yeah, there are zero exploitable voids.
It essentially proves that the path is indestructible because the seeker threw every conceivable disaster at it, and the math just held up.
Exactly.
Which naturally makes me wonder about the attacks themselves. Because if the shape of our safe riverbed is entirely dictated by what it has survived, we need to look at the weapons the Seeker is actually using. The sources outline this arsenal called the Adversarial Probe Generation Algorithm, or APGA.
And the APGA is not just random noise. It's a highly targeted methodology designed to specifically fracture those navigation fields. The Seeker doesn't just, you know, throw a rock in the river. It systematically probes the physics of the environment for weaknesses using very specific modalities.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's walk through a few of those modalities because they show just how brutal this training is. The first one listed is curl injection. If our gradient is the slope of the riverbed, keeping the water moving forward, injecting curl creates a whirlpool. The seeker is trying to warp the flow so that instead of resolving safely, the AI gets trapped in this infinite loop, constantly circling a problem until the system just crashes.
Exactly. That is a direct attack on gradient continuity. Then you have entropy spikes. This is more of a brute force approach, where the seeker artificially pushes the system's disorder to its absolute limits.
Like trying to overwhelm it.
Yeah, it's trying to force the water into a state of unrecoverable failure, essentially a black hole, just to see if the weaver's corridor walls are high enough and strong enough to contain the pressure without collapsing.
Okay, the third one is spoof beacons, and this is where I actually have to pause.
Oh yeah, this one is fascinating.
Because the text says the seeker creates fake topological fingerprints. It basically puts up a fake lighthouse to trick the AI into thinking it's flowing toward a safe state when it's actually heading straight for a catastrophic failure.
Right.
Wait, hold on. You're saying we purposely teach the AI how to completely blind itself and hallucinate safe zones? Why in the world would we build the ultimate highly efficient hacker directly into our own training loop? That just sounds like giving the system a suicide button.
I know. It seems totally counterintuitive until you apply the logic of conditional collapse theory, which explicitly addresses this exact paradox.
Okay, explain that.
What's fascinating here is that the defining insight of AIST is that security is not built by hiding flaws. It is forged by exposing them. I mean, if you attempt to shelter a complex system from spoofed data or fake beacons during development, a malicious actor in the real world will inevitably discover that vulnerability once the system goes live.
So by forcing the AI to experience the most sophisticated deception imaginable in a simulated environment, we are essentially inoculating it.
Not just inoculating it, we are fundamentally altering its geometry. When the seeker uses these attacks like spoof beacon or boundary shear.
Boundary shear is the one where it violently pushes the system as it transitions between states, right?
Yeah, exactly. Pushing it across handoff zones to trigger a failure. So when the seeker does that, the weaver doesn't just register an error in a log file. It responds by expanding what the theory calls Taylor token.
Right. I saw that term, and I summarized it in my notes as mathematical armor.
Hmm.
But how does a Taylor token actually seal a vulnerability?
Well, it relates to Taylor series in calculus, which are used to approximate complex curves. When the seeker blows a hole in the riverbed, the weaver uses a Taylor token to mathematically calculate all the possible nearby states around that specific hole.
Okay.
It then expands the polynomial geometry of the safe corridor to bridge that gap. It literally thickens the mathematical walls of the path, smoothing out the cliff face so the whirlpool can't ever form again. The defense is permanently baked into the shape of the environment itself.
Oh, wow. So the chaos literally carves the safety. Every time the Seeker successfully breaks the system, it forces the Weaver to pour mathematical concrete over that exact spot until it's impenetrable.
Perfectly said.
Okay, so this works beautifully in a vacuum, right? We have one Weaver carving its perfect riverbed and one Seeker testing it. But a modern system, like a network of autonomous delivery drones or a city's traffic grid, has thousands of independent AI agents running at the same time.
Right. It's highly distributed.
Yeah. So if they're all being attacked differently in their own local environments, how do we stop them from completely contradicting each other?
This is where we get into the problem of scale, which is addressed by the Multi-Agent Consensus Training Protocol, or MACTP. Because you're right, a distributed system cannot function if one node thinks a path is safe and another node knows for a fact it's a sinkhole. They have to synchronize.
But sharing that amount of data would be impossible, wouldn't it? If thousands of AIs are constantly sending full simulation logs of every single attack and every Taylor token expansion to each other, they'd create a massive beta traffic jam. The network would just collapse under its own weight.
Which is exactly why they do not share raw data. Instead, the distributed Weavers and Seekers broadcast what the text calls topological fingerprints.
And what are those?
These are incredibly lightweight cryptographic summaries of the hazard geometry they've mapped. The sources specifically mention using things like ED255519 signatures and Jacobian spectra. Think of them as coordinates of a vulnerability rather than a high-definition video of the attack itself.
Oh, so it's remarkably similar to how Waze works for human drivers, just on a mathematically infallible scale.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Like when you're driving with Waze and the driver 3 miles ahead of you hits a massive pothole, their app doesn't send a literal photo of the pothole to your phone. It just sends a tiny data packet, a coordinate, and then your map instantly updates, routing you around the hazard before you even see it.
The AIST framework functions on that exact same principle, but with a crucial addition. The global repulsive field.
The global repulsive field. That sounds intense.
It is. When one agent in the network hits an entropy void, basically a pothole in theory space, it broadcasts that fingerprint. And the entire global network instantly incorporates that data to build a localized repulsive gravitational field around that exact coordinate.
Meaning every single Weaver on the grid immediately adapts its local geometry to repel that specific vulnerability. The water is structurally forced to flow around the pothole.
Exactly.
So the entire constellation of agents becomes universally robust the second one single agent discovers a flaw.
The system exhibits true anti-fragility. It grows functionally stronger and more resilient with every unique stressor it encounters. The alignment of all these gradient fields across the network ensures that a successful attack vector on a single node can never ever be replicated anywhere else on the grid.
That is just a staggering level of security. But it also leads directly to the massive elephant in the room. Computation.
Yes, the hardware question.
Right, because hearing about multi-agent consensus and global repulsive fields and Taylor tokens expanding polynomial geometries, I mean, this sounds like it requires a warehouse-sized supercomputer pulling massive amounts of electricity just to keep a local power grid from crashing.
Well, the training phase certainly requires immense computational resources. The adversarial loop in the simulated environment, all those Weavers and Seekers battling it out, is incredibly heavy.
I would imagine.
But the deployment phase, how this theory actually lands on real-world constrained edge hardware, is where Acer really separates itself from traditional AI models.
So what does this all mean practically? Let's ground this. Say you manage a regional microgrid. You don't have server farms at your disposal. You just have small, rugged computer nodes attached to transformers out in a field somewhere. How does this theoretical physics-level math operate on that kind of equipment?
It reaches your equipment as a constitutional navigation package, or CNP. You are not deploying the massive Weaver and Seeker battle to your local transformer.
Oh.
You're only deploying the final hardened map that they created. The CNP is simply a compiled binary file containing the pre-validated stars and safe corridors. Because it's just a map of geometric gravity, the file size is drastically reduced, usually somewhere between 2 and 15 megabytes.
Wait, really? 2 to 15 megabytes? That's wild. The entirety of that simulated warfare, the global consensus, all the mathematical armor, it just compresses into a file the size of a single MP3 track.
It's remarkably efficient.
This is where the operational trace from the sources really paints a vivid picture. Let's look at a concrete scenario. Say there's a sudden line fault. A massive tree branch falls on a power line, causing a severe voltage dip across a local microgrid. How does a standard heuristic AI controller handle that?
A standard AI controller immediately reacts to the anomaly by spinning up its processors to run hundreds of floating point operations, FLOPs. It's desperately trying to calculate the optimal power flow in real time, trying to reroute electricity and stabilize the grid before the transformers blow.
And what if that voltage dip was accompanied by a cyber attack? Like, what if the system is experiencing a spoof beacon in the real world where a hacked sensor is feeding the AI fake temperature data while the tree branch is falling?
The standard controller experiences a catastrophic failure. It blindly incorporates the fake temperature data into its frantic real-time calculations. It basically makes the mathematically correct choice based on bad data, shuts down the wrong substations, and triggers a cascading blackout across the entire region.
So the rule-based guardrails completely collapse under the friction.
Exactly.
Now compare that to an edge AI running the AIS package. The tree falls. The voltage dips. The hacked sensor starts screaming fake data. What does the CNP do?
It does almost zero real-time calculation.
Really?
Yeah. The environment shifts, and the AIS node simply feels the gravity of the new situation. Mm-hmm. It recognizes the topology of the disturbance, activates a pre-validated mathematical star within its map, and smoothly glides along the safe corridor into what grid operators call island mode.
Island mode.
It's a safe, isolated operational state. It just follows the path of least resistance.
Because that path was already forged in the crucible, it already survived millions of simulated tree branches and spoofed sensors during pre-training. And the runtime cost for this glide, the text notes, it requires roughly 0.2% of baseline inference compute.
It is effectively zero compute control. The paradigm shift here is that the safety is amortized. All the exhausting, heavy computational work of figuring out the safest route while the building is on fire that was already paid for up front during the adversarial training phase.
You don't try to engineer and build a suspension bridge while you're driving over the gorge. You just drive over the bridge that the Weaver already built and the Seeker couldn't destroy. This fundamentally reframes everything we assume about system management.
It really does. You stop trying to teach an artificial intelligence how to be good or safe at runtime. Instead, you shape the underlying topology of its operational environment so intricately that acting safely is the absolute only mathematically viable direction it can move.
Wow. We have covered a massive amount of ground today. Let's distill the core takeaway for you, the listener. What we're seeing in these notes is that adversarial theory building transforms AI safety from a fragile post hoc software patch into compiled geometric gravity. The safest path isn't chosen through complex calculation in the heat of the moment, it is inherited.
And it ensures that when the system is finally deployed to the edge, it is structurally immune to the exact chaotic elements that make traditional rule-based networks so vulnerable. The chaos was already consumed and mapped.
In an era where we are constantly overwhelmed by information overload and where we read daily stories about sophisticated AI systems being tricked by shockingly simple prompts, this concept is incredibly refreshing. The idea of an anti-fragile architecture, a system that literally feeds on attacks to map and seal its own blind spots, means that chaos is no longer a threat. It's the raw material required for perfect security.
Which really points toward a horizon far beyond just keeping a microgrid online or guiding a delivery drone.
Exactly. And that leaves us with a profound thought to mull over. If we can compile this kind of mathematical safety into a tiny zero compute package to perfectly stabilize physical infrastructure, what happens when we eventually try to scale this adversarial consensus loop to broader, far more complex human systems?
It's a huge question.
Could we apply this underlying geometry to global supply chains? Or the architecture of the internet itself? Imagine a world where our most critical societal networks aren't held together by endless breakable regulations, but are guided by an inherited, invisible gravity that inherently repels disaster, a system that actually uses our chaos to perfect its own highway. That is an entirely new horizon and a fascinating thought to take with you today.